Good morning. I want to show you a box I have. It's one of several boxes that I have, and as you can tell, there's some stuff in it. And I guess that a lot of you at your homes, or maybe at your workplaces, or somewhere at grandma's house or grandpa's house, a lot of you have boxes like this. There's no shoes in here, so I'll show you that. Just mementos. Things that I have collected over my lifetime, things that I've collected that I have enjoyed. People have given me cards. There's pictures of my great-grandparents. There's a card of, or a picture of Amy and I, and there's a card in here for Pastor Kevin. I was going through an old Bible, and it was something, a note of encouragement that he had written to me. But all of us have boxes. We have a place where we put sentimental things, things that have touched our lives, things that have meant something to us, something that encouraged us, something that through them you experienced love. Now, all of those things meant something because of the relationship that you had with the person that sent that object. And so I'm going to put the box away. There's no more with the box. Because, like I said, all those boxes contain letters, cards, and letters. But it depends upon the person that sends it and the relationship that you have with that other person. You know, at home I have another box. I didn't bring that one today. And then that box has love letters. And now those love letters are love letters that Amy and I, or basically letters that I received from Amy, when we were first dating and we would begin to get to know each other. We spent time together with each other. We went on a date. We talked and just shared everything that we had about ourselves. And she would write, "Thank you, Josh, for being open. Thank you, Josh, for sharing this. Thank you, Josh, for being loving in a way that I never knew that I needed to be loved." And so somewhere at home, I have that box of love letters. This morning, I want to put before you that God has given us a love letter. And it took a while for me to fully grasp or fully believe that this is His love letter to all of us. But as you begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, you begin to see God's Word as a love letter to you. A love letter that is filled with history, love letter that is filled with a story of how He has loved you in the past, loves you now, and is going to love you in the future. I want to give a testimony today. I want to tell today and proclaim this. I love Jesus. And I'm not afraid of Him. And I'm not ashamed of Him. I want to encourage you to share those same words. I love Jesus. But you know, I did not begin loving Jesus. When I began years ago coming to church, hearing about Jesus, when I began in homes with my dad or my mother or somebody else in my family, my grandma June, they began to share about Jesus. I had teachers that taught the Word of God. I had pastors that preached the Word of God. They began to share about Jesus. And as you began to listen to the Word of God and as it penetrated your heart, you became open to the Spirit of God to speak into your heart that I love you. I love Jesus. And as I draw closer to Him, I fall more in love with Him. As I begin to learn more about Him, I begin to grow in my love for Him. This is God's love letter. And He has a word for us this morning. If you would turn with me to the first book, the first letter, 1 John, chapter 2. You know, we've been talking about knowing God. And when Pastor Kevin and Pastor Jeremy and I sat some couple months ago and we talked about that the theme this year is to know God, that we want everybody in our church to know God. We want the people that we work with to know God. We expect the people to know Him. The expression of knowing God comes in a loving relationship. When you speak of knowing God, you should be able to say, "I love Jesus." And then you should in the next be able to share why you love Jesus. And so this morning, I want to talk with you about how we know God and experience His love through His love letter. And so listen as I share the word this morning. This is 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 and then 15 through 17. "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, 'I know Him,' but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light. There is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. Down in 15 through 17 says this, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, and the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the love of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Father, right now I would ask that you would unwrap this word this morning. Father, I pray that you would express your love to our hearts. Thank you for this time to be together. I ask that you would make it clear your message this morning in Christ's name. Amen. We experience God's love when we open our hearts to His Word and live out its message. And so this morning, in your bulletins, there's an insert. And so if you're going to follow along on that insert, I want to share with you that when I think of God's love, I think of God's Word. Because none of us fully experience God's love without experiencing firsthand the reading of the Word, the learning from the Word, the study of the Word presented to us. And so as you look at that outline this morning, you can almost change God's love with God's Word. I have four things I want to share with you about God's love this morning out of His Word. And it's this. God's love protects us from sin. Or God's Word protects us from sin. From the beginning, God has set up a personal, a desire to have a personal relationship with His creation. You know, He formed Adam and Eve to have a relationship with them. And because He loved them, He set up one rule. Now that one rule they failed to keep. They broke it. And so this morning we're going to talk about that. God's love protects us from sin. Do you know that sin is devastating? Sin affects not only you, but it affects the person that you're closest with. It affects our whole country. It affects our whole world. It affects everything. When you sin, it doesn't just affect you. It affects anything that you come in contact with. And so God desires, because He loves us, to protect us from sin. We call that rules. And if you grew up out of the church, or you grew up in a home that maybe was very strict or not even strict, you cannot exist without having rules. And I can remember sometimes as I talk with people around town, I can't go to church because you have too many rules. You know what? The rules are hard for a person that doesn't have a love relationship with the one that gave the rule. And so I want to put out there before you that God loves you and desires that He gives us a way to live our life. He has set up some rules in order to protect us from destroying ourselves. You know, a couple of illustrations of that is this. In our families, I'm a young dad, and I'm beginning to really realize the importance of setting up boundaries for my children, the importance of giving rules to them so that they can know how to act. What is the right thing to do? What's the wrong thing to do? If I want to stay in dad's if I want to stay on dad's good side, I'm going to do these things. And we put out rules, and rules are hard sometimes. They're challenging. Nobody wants to follow the rules most of the time. But if you have a loving relationship and you know that that rule is going to be for your benefit, then you follow it. So God is giving us some rules because He loves us. And He has determined that sin is a bad thing for us. Another example I'd like to put out there for you about why God loves us and He protects us from sin is this. I work in a microbiology lab. Now we have rules within this lab. You probably have rules at your work. Don't do this and do this. And if you do this, it'll protect you. It'll protect you and also the work that you're doing. Now, I have some things that we do in our lab. We put on gloves. We put on goggles. We put on a lab jacket. Those things, although they're tedious, they take time, they can irritate us sometimes if you got the wrong pair of gloves on sometimes, they protect us from the organisms, the stuff that we're testing for. And it's good because not only does it protect me from the organism, it protects my family. It protects anybody that I would come in contact with. And so God loves us and desires to have a relationship with us. So He has given us rules to protect us from destroying us when we sin. The greatest example, though, of God's protection, protecting us from sin, is that He sent Jesus Christ. There in verse 2, He talks about, I know you're going to sin. The Apostle John says, I know that you're going to sin. I know that you're going to make mistakes. I know you're going to do things because it is your nature. And when that happens, please know, God has done something for us in order to protect us from Him. The greatest example of Him protecting us from our sin is that He sent Jesus Christ to the cross. He chose one that was perfect, one that He loved, one that loved Him, one who lived completely in a good relationship with, one that never sinned, to take on the wrath that He was going to pour out on our sins for our disobedience, our choosing to not obey God. And so we have this living example. We have Jesus Christ who protects us from our sin. So that's one way that God's Word demonstrates, or God's love protects us, is that He protects us from sin. The second thing this morning is that God loves us, and His love is made complete when we obey His Word. Now, sometimes you might hear that, God's love is made complete when we obey His Word. Now, God doesn't need, God is love. We learned that in 1 John chapter 4. God is love. It's already complete in Him, but in us, it's not so complete. But when we have that relationship with God, when we're loving God and we're following, obeying His commands, then His love becomes complete in us. We're not able to do the things that God wants us to do. We're not able to fully experience His love if we're not obedient. There in the Word it talks about that. If you say, and we've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks, do I know God? And if you know God, this is what it looks like. None of us in this room can claim that we know God and yet say, I don't have to obey what His Word says for us to obey. You probably all have people that you work with, people that you, maybe neighbors or family members, say, well, I can love God, but I don't have to do what He asked me to do. Wrong! They're not. They demonstrate that they're a liar. We demonstrate that we're lying. When we say that we know God, that we love God, but yet we fail to obey what His Word says for us to do. And I like this expression that God's love is made complete in us when we obey His Word, because it actually gives us some way of gauging, am I loving God? And can I see Him completely love me? Can I see it do it? It's a way of worship when we take God's Word and we apply it to our life and we live it out. And so God's love can become complete when we follow and obey Him. Now, there in verse 6, God has given us Jesus Christ as a living example. He was the only person, like I said just a little bit ago, Jesus was the only person that knew God's heart, knew God's Word. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do. And so if you are living and if you're following, you're obeying God, we ought to look a lot more like Jesus. And I want to put that before you. In your life, are you looking more like Jesus or more like your old self before you became a believer? Because in relationship with God, His desire would be that all of us would love Him. All of us would begin to look like His Son so that His love can be made complete in us. And so that's the second way. God loves us, and it's made complete when we obey His Word. The third way out of this text is that God's love gives sight to spiritual blindness. And I would define spiritual blindness as the inability to see life from God's perspective. Most of us, for a time, we're not able to see our lives from God's point of view. Most of the time, we only see our own lives through what we've experienced. What have I gone through? How do I feel about this? What am I going through? That's usually our first instinct. We never think about, God, what do you think about that? But all of us at some point are spiritually blind. And we need God's love, God's Word, to come beside us and to open our eyes. You know, it talks about in the Word that there's, you know, John uses darkness and light. You know, we understand that our world is living in darkness. We understand that there are people that do things that dishonor God. There's people that are walking around. They don't have a clue. They don't have any purpose, any direction. They're oblivious that God loves them. And so I want to encourage you to open your heart to God's love. And when you do, spiritual blindness will be moved away. But please note that also that spiritual blindness can happen too as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. It does happen. Whenever we let sin, whenever we do the things that don't honor God, we blind ourselves again. And we might be a Christian and we might love God. But you know what? We always have to be aware that there are things that come up in our lives that can cause us to be blind and not see God as clearly and as magnificent and as awesome as He is. And the last, we're really going to get through this fast. You're going to get to go eat really fast. But that's okay. Because I like the last point for, you know, God's love endures forever. To the point. Anyways, God's love endures forever. You know, in that last section, He says, don't love the world. If you love the world, you're going to only destroy yourself. And I've often thought about, when I talk to people, what does it mean to be in the world? What does it mean for us to say, don't love the world, don't be like the world? Well, the world would represents, pardon me, the world represents philosophies, activities, actions, things that we do that don't glorify God. The things that are just philosophies. You know, here's one philosophy I think I hear. Whatever works out for you, you know, that's good for you, but it's not good for me. That's a philosophy. All ways lead to God. All ways lead to heaven. That's a philosophy. It doesn't work out for all those through a lot more conversation and stuff. But God's love endures forever. And sometimes in our life, though, we, at the beginning of our relationship with God, we have a good, it's loving, it's everything's great. But we always need to be aware of is that we sometimes take away God's love and put it things in our lives that distract us from fully experiencing His love. And what I mean by that is that I'll use my own life. You know, if I look at my life, if I can look the last 7 days, how much time did I spend in God's Word? How much time did I spend talking to God? How much time did I spend in communication with Him? What else took the place of my love relationship with God? Far too often, each of us has things that come into our lives that distract us from experiencing God's love. So many times, we put things in our life that keep us from experiencing His love. And so this day, I want to just tell you that God's love is to, you know, endures forever. That no matter what you experience, whatever thing that you have put into your life, it can be removed. And I want to encourage you to be aware of that. I don't know about you, but I work in a lab, and I work with people that they need God's love. I need God's love. And I want to encourage you to be advocates for the love of God. Be willing to share that with other people. You know, we live in a world that doesn't, you know, they think that God doesn't love them. You know, we face a lot of troubles. We face a lot of difficulties. And then people need to know that God loves them. And, you know, I talked about there in that portion of Scripture, it says darkness and light. For those who are believers in here, you've been given the light of Christ in you. You have an opportunity, a chance, to share that light with other people. There are so many people that are living in darkness. There are so many people that are going to hell. There are so many people that are choosing to do things that don't honor places to love Him. God has put you there to protect Him. God has put you there to show them that His love will endure forever. You know, my you know, I talked about love letters from Amy. You know, all the, you know, my love for her, when she passes away one day, that's going to end. When my children go on, when we're done here, that love is going to end here. But God's love endures forever. And what I mean by that is, you know, that love will continue to be existence into heaven. So I ask you, will you put your trust, will you put your faith in a love that will endure forever? How do you love God? How can you show the world that you're making Jesus the most important thing in your life? You can obey His word. I'd ask you to rise, because the message is done. Like I said, it was a very short message. Stand up, just. I'd like you to bow your heads. I want to tell you that God loves you. I want to tell you that the things that you're facing today, the problems and situations in your life that you are struggling with, God understands what you're going through. God has an answer for what you're going through. God has people that will walk with you through whatever you're experiencing today. But He's asking you to say yes to receiving His love. He's asking that you would trust Him, trust in His Word, trust fully in it. Don't lean on your own understanding, but to trust in Him. Father, I know that You love us. It was expressed when You sent Your Son, Your only Son, to earth to live and to share and to teach and to eventually die for our sins, take our pain, take our punishment, take our responsibility, take our part of the sin factor and nail it to the cross and to die and to be crucified. But not only did You die, but You rose again. You didn't stay in the grave. And we're thankful for that this morning. God, I want to thank You for loving us, that You have set before us Your Word, that we might study it, we may know You, we may come to experience You, we may come to love You and experience Your love. Father, I pray for the people in the world that don't know Your love, have never experienced Your love, truly desire Your love. I pray that we would be able to share that love. Lord, this morning I would just ask that in this moment, that we would be honest with You. Be honest before You and say, God, I don't know true love. I don't know Your love, but I want to. And God, I don't know love, and I don't want to follow Your word. I don't want to put that in my life. I don't want to be obedient. I want to do all that I want to do. Father, I pray that You would reveal that to us, that we do that doesn't honor You. Father, I pray that we would love one another. Your word says that we're to love our brother, love our sister. I pray that You would help us to love our brother and help us to love our sister. Help us to forgive one another for the things that we do that dishonor You. God, this morning, this body of believers, we want to come together and say we love You. Help us to be obedient to Your word. Help us to experience your protection in the Word. Help us to know You. Help us to be changed by Your presence in our life. Thank You, Lord, for bringing us here this morning. Thank You for loving us. We love You. I ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.